Welcome, Tiffany, to the IoT for All podcast. Thanks for being here this week.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. I'd love it if you'd kick us off by giving a quick introduction about yourself and the company to our audience.
Sure. I'm Tiffany Nielsen. I'm currently the CMO of IoT Marketing. And IoT Marketing helps fuel the growth and launch companies that are in the tech and IoT space by providing end-to-end marketing, PR, and production services. And we also host regular virtual events that are amazing. We bring together panels of experts and we talk about different industry challenges, solutions, and provide forward-looking thoughts. So we'll talk more about the events we have coming up later in the show.
So I wanted to kick this off because I think it's an interesting conversation that we not only have planned, but also just the perspective that you have from the type of company. Usually we're obviously talking to companies that are solution providers or hardware companies, connectivity companies. So you're coming at this from a very different kind of more holistic angle because you're engaging with companies across the entire IoT spectrum. So I wanted to start a little high level here and ask, get your take on what the IoT landscape kind of looks like to you, how things have changed in the market, and just generally kind of kick things off coming from that side of things.
I've really seen the IoT landscape evolve. When I got started in this industry, the product that we were developing was a 2G product that was the world's smallest cellular IoT module. And things have really evolved quickly since the 2G module. And it's just things are evolving so fast. I think the speed at which things are changing, it makes it really difficult for people to have a solution that can really get a 10-year lifespan. And it's crazy to me that these people are putting in very expensive projects into place that maybe won't be the same in 5 or 10 years. So as much as we look at, you know, the length of battery life and, you know, we aim for these 10-year plus solutions, is the connectivity going to be the same? Because we saw the sunset of 2G, we saw the sunset of 3G, given there may be some towers out there that are still operating. But for the most part, those are not in existence anymore. And I think we're going to see more big changes come as we advance to true 5G. I still feel like we're in the LTE phase right now. And then they've got the 9.5G coming out and 6G. Before you know it, we'll be at 7G. So it'll be remarkable where we are here in a couple of years to look back and see all the different advancements. So I think that the rate of change that's happening is wild because the pandemic really put in place this exponential growth for all of these different emerging technologies that are just coming to light right alongside each other. It's not just IoT that's had this exponential growth. It's AI. It's everything. And it's really just miraculous to watch it all unfold.
It's interesting kind of to go back and reflect on the pandemic period because we noticed a large uptick in solutions and use cases kind of coming to market because companies had to kind of not only adapt to this new world, but they needed to find a way to do more with less, handle things more remotely. Everything couldn't be done manually or in person. So IoT was the perfect answer for a lot of this. And the technology at the time, and for certain use cases, was at a very good stage. But some use cases, they still had a ways to go with the maturity of the connectivity that was required for a certain environment, the hardware that was required, things along those lines that I think we're starting to see really start to mature to a point where industries all over the world are really starting to see the benefit of IoT. And then you layer in AI and ML and all these different kind of groups of technologies that are able to just make these solutions and these offerings more affordable, last longer, fit more kind of different environments. And I think it's been a big win for just companies and the industry as a whole.
I would agree, Ryan. And I was one of the first ones at our company to realize there was a pandemic on the way. And our business model prior to the pandemic was using trade shows to help launch these companies. And that was wonderful. But with a pandemic and when trade shows go dark was our first webinar that we shifted to. And when you look at the impact of trade shows across most all industries, from hotels to restaurants, I mean, they fuel so much of the economy, travel. And when everything comes to this grinding halt, it really just changes the dynamic of how we were going to move forward with this new giant global challenge. And that's why we started our Industry Insights webinars series. And we would cover a new industry each month and talk about how they would use these new technologies. So we covered 33 different ones. So everything from manufacturing to the energy sector. It's connected health and smart cities. And it's crazy how all of these technologies are just blossoming at rapid speed.
How have the buyer needs changed kind of across the landscape as a whole? Like how's that evolved and changed since you started to really start to take a deeper dive into seeing how these industries are not only adopting but also deploying and understanding what IoT solutions are and what they can do for their businesses?
In early months when we did our first few webinars, and one that comes to mind in front of mine is planes, trains, and smart cars. And just looking at all of the different IoT advancements that people were trying to work into their business models. And at that point, it was kind of, you know, a homemade DIY production, just trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. But as these technologies mature and business needs mature, people are looking for more end-to-end solutions. And they don't want something where it's, you know, this sensor from this company and this controller, and then you kind of mix it together and figure out a platform. It's much easier for a company to use a solution when it's end-to-end. And it's all right in front of them. Everything's in one control panel, than to have everything sprawled out across multiple devices, because it can get complicated.
I agree with you. I think it's been interesting to see the evolution of the industry since I've been involved in it. And you've kind of gone from every company has a platform that can do anything you want, in theory, is what they say. Then they started to realize, well, we need to be a little bit more vertical specific. So now we're going to have a vertical specific platform or solution that can do many different things in a specific vertical. And then it was like, well, that's still kind of too broad. And the way people really make purchases or buy software is also often to start off with solving a particular problem that they have. And that's where I think, to your point, bringing end-to-end solutions to market that are more targeted allows the buyer to better understand what they're getting, how it works, what it's going to do for them, without the headaches that this industry has faced for so long around the fragmentation of the market and how many different components there are, and having to understand connectivity, hardware, the user interface side, the software side, the cloud side, you know, all these different pieces that oftentimes was overwhelming and a deterrent for companies to even start adopting IoT solutions. So to your point of end-to-end solutions being kind of more of what's leading the way now, I think it's a very valid point, because it really just draws back to how we as humans buy things. We don't always buy components. We buy the finished product. And the more easily they can relate it to a particular problem within that industry, I think the easier it is for people to adopt IoT.
I would agree. I would also say that there's less technologies that are just being developed looking for a problem to solve. And the people that are coming to the table have problems that need solved, and there's technology solutions that are out there, and these end-to-end solutions that can solve it all, especially as we face additional challenges like IoT security. I can only imagine that it would be a lot easier to protect something that's end-to-end solution versus something that's got multiple components from multiple suppliers and a different platform. I mean, that's that many more opportunities for error and a bigger attack surface, where if it's an end-to-end solution, it would seem, and it was stressing that it would seem, that it would be more secure.
What are some of those other challenges that you've seen? Like maybe some things that people were not, and the companies that you've spoken with were not kind of expecting, that really kind of bubbled up to be a real problem that the industry and market has faced, maybe is currently facing right now?
Well, I think the IoT security is a big challenge that people maybe weren't expecting to be as big of an issue as it is. So I would definitely say that that's an area of challenge, but also the consolidation of the market, because a lot of these companies that are merging with other companies to be a much larger end-to-end solution, it makes it really difficult for some of these other smaller players to compete with them. Because when it was just individual companies all against each other, made a nice landscape and a pretty well-balanced ecosystem. But when you've got these just giant companies that have merged with each other, it's hard to go up against that and still keep a competitive edge and a competitive price.
The overall consolidation of the industry, I think we've seen it happen, and it's been talked about for many years that was kind of the inevitable growth path, in a sense of there wasn't going to be growth in number of IoT companies, but it was maybe going to be growth with a certain few companies or a bunch of companies leading the way with certain solutions. How have you kind of witnessed the overall kind of consolidation of things? Because it's not only the big people, the big companies buying small companies, but it's also small companies merging together and, you know, being kind of really trying to dominate a single vertical or two by creating these tailored solutions. And I'm curious to see if you think that that's kind of the future and that's where we continue to go and what that might look like.
Well, I think even for most small companies, most of their objectives are to get acquired by another larger company. I mean, that's a good business model. But to the flip side, it's not great for companies that are almost there that may have, you know, been on the tip of making it. And then there's another company that's merged with someone else that can totally fill the need beyond what they could ever imagine. So I think it's really just a race to see who can offer what first. And when it comes to, we cover several different mergers and acquisitions in our IoT Marketing Live news broadcast. And we talk about different carriers that have merged. In Italia, Italy, there's a lot of mergers going on because combined with their efforts, it can offer so much faster connectivity and reach such a wider space. And it really makes sense for them to do that. And a lot of the mergers that I'm looking at, you see NVIDIA acquiring a lot of companies. Arm has done a lot of different merging with other businesses. I see that it does have a point. I mean, the offerings that they can provide by merging is so much more than what they were individually. So I think it makes a lot of sense for most companies. I think we're going to see more of it.
One of the ones that's close to us that we've had relationship with both sides of this is when Core bought Twilio IoT and kind of brought that in to the Core name. And they've really been trying to, ever since they went public, really grow out of the connectivity brand that they've been and be more of a solution provider, as I believe they think that is the path forward to really get to scale and offer solutions that have scale potential and drive their business forward. And I think one of the unique things to a point you made earlier, IoT solutions in most cases are very sticky. So when a solution is deployed and you go through the entire process to deploy and get to a place where you're scaling across your business globally with your customers, depending on how it's set up, it's very hard and kind of cost prohibitive to change that out. And I think that's something that's often overlooked of these companies that are merging and these companies that are deploying solutions. It's whoever can get the customers and get to scale, they're going to be the ones that have the best chance, I think, of surviving, because it's not as easy as just shutting down your Salesforce account and spinning up a competitor. By migrating everything over, it's a lot of change and a lot of adjustments to switch out an entire IoT solution, which for IoT companies, I think is in a sense a good thing.
I would agree. And especially considering when some of these solutions, they're meant to monitor things that aren't easy to get to. So it may be a power tower, some kind of energy tower or something in a mine, something that's just very difficult to get to. I mean, one of my favorite solutions is always the water line that, you install these IoT solutions all along the water line and then you know when it breaks. But you have to go through that entire water line and change every single one of those. That's an exhausting process.
Yeah. Same with like just the growth of eSIM versus, physical SIM cards and having to go and switch SIMs out when you're changing, when connectivity matures or changing networks or things like that, or batteries. We've seen battery power dramatically increase and the life of batteries increase. So you're not having to manually go change out, 100,000 individual devices. There's better ways to do it now, not only just battery life, but using, solar power and things along those lines when it comes to energy harvesting. So just the maturity across all these areas is making things way more plausible than they've ever been before. And I think that relates back to that stickiness, which these companies are all trying to get when it comes to the customers that are going to help them grow and basically survive.
Exactly. And plus, when someone incorporates a new technology, that's an entire new process of upskilling that done for the company that is using the IoT solution. So
one of the things you mentioned earlier I wanted to go back to is talking about just kind of the growth of AI. And we've had this conversation a lot with everybody that comes on the podcast, just how they're seeing AI play a role in IoT from their perspective. And I'm curious from your side of things, how are you seeing emerging technologies like AI affect the landscape in general and just contribute to the overall growth that we're, across different industries and for different companies alike?
You have to look at base of all these IoT solutions. It's data. And so much of the data was going unused for so long. And now AI, once it's put in place, it can actually make sense of this data and finally put it to good use. And so I think for companies that aren't using AI with their IoT solution, you need to use AI in order to make sense of all this data. There's plenty of different approaches to it, whether it's a large language model or ML. There are ways to make the most of your data. And I think without using AI, it's just leaving them further and further behind.
What's going to help a lot is companies that actually develop real AI solutions that people understand what's happening. Because I think right now and this might tie into my next question, is actually around marketing. People are just kind of slapping the AI letters on to everything they're doing to make so people feel like they're not kind of behind. But in reality, are companies all doing quote unquote AI? Probably not. From the buyer's perspective, I think, understanding what AI is, understanding how AI is powering these solutions, because to your point, data is the reason you do IoT, is to be able to collect and have access to data. And what does AI need in order for it to do its job? It needs data. And IoT is where you collect data from the physical world. And I think that's one of the most interesting and like revolutionary like conjoining of technologies or groups of technologies that is very, very promising for people to think about. And that's something that I think, the AIoT acronym is now becoming more popular. And I'm be curious to see if that starts to take place of the IoT acronym or if they kind of stay separate or, how that's kind of handled. Because I get people on the podcast all the time asking if I think IoT as an acronym is going to survive or not.
Well, I think IoT has been around for a while. It's not going anywhere. It's just how noted. It's like a refrigerator. It's just on. It's just quietly running in the background doing its thing. And then you realize, now the refrigerator is even collecting data. So it's a different book altogether. But I think that IoT will always be there. It's just a matter of how prominent it's advertised and marketed to these companies that are wanting to integrate the new technologies. Are they realizing that it's IoT, or do they think they just have this end-to-end solution to gather more data about whatever their business model is?
One question I wanted to ask you about the marketing side of things, and we could probably have a conversation for quite a long time about this, but we'll try to keep it short so that we don't take up too much time of our audience. But what have you noticed as the biggest changes to how IoT companies are approaching marketing? You talked about prior to COVID, a lot of it was going to events, and then it became virtual events. And now people are starting to go back to events while also doing virtual events. But there's so many different elements to it with social media, with other types of avenues, content marketing, things along those lines. How are you seeing things change, and what are you seeing companies find the most, success when it comes to marketing activities related to IoT? Is there different channels they're using, different approaches? Is it just a different focus overall? Just what's kind of the biggest things that you've kind of witnessed?
Well, when it comes to marketing IoT companies, there's always this extremely long sales cycle, which makes sense because they have to change all of their business functionality to incorporate IoT and all of its data and everything that's required to transition to a connected solution within your company. So I can understand the long sales cycle, but I think that the one thing that people in the IoT space are doing, and that's a wise decision, is elevating their thought leadership. So whether that's doing it at a physical event or a virtual event or both, which is what I think works the best, I think that they want to be top of mind with their consumers. So they need as many outlets as possible. So it makes sense to have a physical presence at a trade show with a booth and maybe speak at that event, as well as do some virtual events. Because now that people, especially just with all of the job cuts and everything that's happening, maybe there's less budget to go to a physical trade show, that people are looking for these solutions wherever they can find the information. So that's one of the benefits about what we do, is because we're kind of combining a virtual trade show with a live virtual event where people can participate, they can talk to their potential consumers. And I think consumer really just wants to get to know someone that is being the company representative, so that they can have some trust that that's a solution that they can go with. And the more that they can hear that from someone that's representing the brand that they're going to choose and a voice that is coming from a straightforward, you know, honest place where they feel like this is the solution that I want to go with, the better. So I think they just need to be in as many places as possible, whether that's social, physical, and virtual events.
We've always advocated for a more comprehensive approach to marketing for IoT because, to your initial point, the long sales cycle, it does take time for companies to make a decision. Even when they've already kind of gotten through the marketing, through your funnel, and you're talking with them, it still takes time for them. So we've always advocated for this comprehensive approach because we think that in an industry that education is a very big part of the decision-making process, especially early on. I mean, we started IoT for All a number of years back because we felt there was a gap in the way people were being educated and trying to educate themselves on what IoT is and the value it can provide to their business across different industries. And there was a big disconnect there. So we wanted to kind of fill that gap and really help bring those minds together to educate people. And I think what's been interesting to see is that has continued to still be an area of focus for companies, is being kind of a thought leader and trying to help educate their potential buyers on not only what they do as a business, but just what can be done with these technologies and these solutions. And when you take that and now start to tailor that more towards vertical specific markets to advertise into, to market into, whether it's going to certain vertical trade shows or having kind of accounts that you're really trying to get into with, you know, LinkedIn advertising or writing content specifically aimed at a target buyer, all of those things bringing together help really get your brand out there and hopefully build a relationship with those potential buyers. So when they're ready to make a decision, your company is top of mind for them.
I would definitely agree. I love the fact that you brought up education. I think that the more information people and businesses make available on their websites for people to download, it just makes a lot of sense if there's different white papers and case studies so they can really see the solution in action is what's going to convince them to become a buyer.
A lot of more companies are devoting more resources and time to doing that, which I think is great for everybody. And our big thing lately, which ties to your point earlier about end-to-end solutions, is just really being targeted in your approach. Like, obviously, you can do your brand marketing, when it comes to trying to sell solutions, understanding who your solution buyers are, where they spend their time, and kind of really focusing on testing different kinds of campaigns, different kinds of content in those areas where they're spending their time. You don't always have to be super broad, because sometimes being too broad is not going to necessarily connect with those decision makers and those buyers of your, you know, individual vertical specific solution. And that's where we have noticed a lot of companies starting to really get it and start to go down that path and see a lot more success, which has been really cool.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, Ryan. And when you talk about connecting, maybe building a relationship with someone that's your potential customer is obviously one of the core things that needs to be done, because whether it's shaking hands at a trade show to build that bond, or if it's virtual, you know, really taking time to dive into a conversation more than just a 5 or 10 minute sales call and start forming a relationship. I think the more connected you are to your clients and the more of a bond that you build, the better off your business is going to be.
I wanted to ask you one thing, because I know you do a lot more of this than we have exposure into, which is the virtual event side of things. What have you noticed is kind of the biggest values and takeaways that companies are seeing by not only participating in them and being kind of the voices and the educators in these events, but also attending the events? What are you seeing as kind of the big trade-offs versus the physical events that you go to? I know you mentioned budget already, and obviously it's more expensive to go to an event, but what are you seeing as the pros and cons to kind of the virtual versus the in-person events?
Time, that it's more flexible for people to attend virtually, to participate virtually. When you think about the time it takes just to plan a trip to wherever the convention or trade show might be taking place, I mean, that's taken out of the equation when you think about a virtual event, because it's just, it optimizes efficiency, which is great. You could also, from a organizer's perspective, it allows us to gather much more analytics that can be delivered to our clients that are participating in these events. The speakers get a lot of value because they can immediately see people commenting in the chat. It's super engaging, so they know that people are really into what they're talking about. Great. People can ask questions. We offer our events on demand once someone gets a ticket for 90 days after the event. So it adds that extra flexibility where if they watched it maybe live and then they want to go back and watch a session again, that's what, because then they can really absorb more information. And then that gives our clients a way to go and say, oh, well, this person watched my content twice, so they're really interested in what I'm talking about. If they're asking specific questions, if they're downloading the materials, it just gives us that many more calls to action and activation points that we can pass along to our clients. And it just alleviates this long list of people to go after and gives them a shorter, more precise list of people that are truly interested in their solutions.
One thing I think it's important that we haven't really mentioned is, given that IoT in itself, there's companies that are very do specific things. They focus very much on connectivity, focus on hardware, software, system integrators. Not every type of event is going to be right for them. It's finding the events that have the potential partners or customers at them. For like solution providers, for instance, those trade shows, those vertical specific trade shows are more likely to be better fits for them than going to a very kind of horizontal, just general IoT event at times, unless they're looking for partners, because more kind of industry players are going to be there, versus the hardware companies and the connectivity companies looking for other providers of IoT components. Those IoT industry events, or for instance, the event that was they just had as channel partners, is going to be great for those types of companies to go to. And I think it's really about finding the events, virtual or in person, that have what you're looking for, whether they're the buyers or they're the partners, you know, et cetera. Finding those before you invest the time and the resources to commit to either attending, being an exhibitor, speaker, you name it.
And I really enjoyed the Channel Partners Expo. I was at this year's event here in Las Vegas, and I thought it was very well done. All of the booths were very engaging, but it was very much partner driven, which I also liked, because you knew what you were there for and who you were talking to, as opposed to an IoT world type scenario. And even in an IoT world type scenario, because I have exhibited at that show for my previous company before, there were still people in that audience that wanted an IoT solution that didn't know what was going to work for them. So there are still those consumers that are trying to figure out what to use. But I do agree with your point that if you're at an industry specific show, you're going to have much better results as an exhibitor.
Yeah, it's been kind of neat to see booths from a lot of the companies that we are friends with and have known for many years go from being a very technology centered booth to now a solution focused booth where they bring their customers in to showcase how they're using their technologies in real world applications to help build and drive more customers. That's been a really cool thing. And we started to notice that over the last like year and a half. I think about CES 2 years ago when we really started to see it. And that was kind of neat to just see the companies go from just promoting technology to now leading with solutions. And it just kind of advocates for a lot of stuff that we're saying on here.
Absolutely. I think that the market's going to continue to shift around, but I think that trade shows will always be a staple in some way, shape, or form.
I know you all have some events coming up. We have some of actually companies that we work with that are partners and members of our community that are going to be participating in it. We hope to participate as well. And some of them, can you mind kind of sharing with our audience the upcoming events that you have over the next, I guess it's between what now and I think October are the three big ones that we're aware of?
So our first event that's coming up in only a couple weeks is the Green Things Summit, taking place on April 25th. And that event is focused on anything that is centered around green. So sustainable solution, it could be something that's good for the environment, anything for the energy sector. It's also about optimization of efficiency and energy. So anything that's like a battery solution would be great. If there's anyone out there watching that would like to talk about that, we're also going to touch on agriculture and some things that are climate tech. A lot of the bigger global trends. We've got some participants coming to us from the UN that are going to be talking about some of the sustainable development goals and that type of topics. So definitely a broad range of discussion points, and we'd love to have a few more participants. We've got a few speaking spots and sponsorship spots left for that. We also have an AI summit coming up in July called Intelligent Thinking. And for that, we're going to be focused on all things AI, including AIoT and generative AI. We're going to be talking about ML. We're going to be talking about LLM. So lots of opportunities for speakers, sponsors, and participants in the audience. So register, and it's free to register for all of these events. We also have our Summit of Things event, which is a staple. It's a 3-day virtual summit coming up in October, on October 22nd through the 24th. And it's 3 days, but as I mentioned before, all of the content's available for 90 days, even after the event ends. So even if you don't have time to devote all 3 days to it, you can watch it at your leisure. It's very flexible and you can download materials from different participants. You can engage. There's networking, one-to-one meetings. There's definitely a lot of Q&A, polls, and ways to grow your network and expand within our community. So one other event that we do have coming up in December is our Industry Insights IoT Awards, and nominations are now open. So you can nominate for across 10 different categories, and that's available now, free of charge.
We'll make sure we link all that up in the promotion for this, as well as just generally speaking. We'll try to keep our audience up to date on those events. Really excited to participate and have a member of our community participate as well. Everybody seems really excited about those. So we appreciate the opportunity to work together on those. And I appreciate you taking the time to do this. This has been great. I think our audience is going to get a lot of value out of it. It's a very different perspective. The fact that you work with and talk to lots of different companies across lots of different industries. It allows kind of a fresh take on things, kind of see how things are evolving, and you're not coming at it from a just a hardware view or just a connectivity view. You're seeing kind of it all holistically, which is really neat. So appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Ryan. The pleasure was mine.